Kevin Shore has signed a 2-year extension, $850,000 per season. The way I look at it is if Devin Shore ends up being your 13th forward, then that's a big upgrade on Patrick Russell.
100% it is. You got a guy who's played in the league for 6 years and has put up respectable numbers in limited time on ice and in different roles, as opposed to a guy who, I mean, all the credit to Patrick Russell for being able to get to that level and play in the NHL, but his effectiveness compared to Devin Shore is not as good. So, yeah, that's a good way to go about it, Greg's 13th forward. I know I've seen some reaction on Twitter so far, some kind of scratching their heads, being puzzled, but this is a pro, and you need a lineup of good, solid NHL players, and you can't have just a stacked group of six. Even though the Oilers don't really have a stacked group of top six right now, and then just filling it in with fodder and tweeners. You need guys who are NHLers and can bring it at the NHL level. That's what Devin Shore is. The price is cheap, and he proved himself this season, so he gets a deal. Greg's, we'll see what happens now. That's the other thing, too, is now that you know the dominoes are going to start to fall here, what happens with like a Jujhar Khaira? Do you not qualify him and then circle back to him as a UFA and get him for cheaper than the 1.2? So that's something to keep an eye out for as well.
Yeah, no, it's fair. I'm not sure he would get that on the open market. So, yep. You know, that's where, you know, guys are going to have to look. And what's going to happen in the flat cap is the guys in the bottom and the middle are going to get squeezed. That's just how it is. Right? And
totally.
You know, the elite top-end guys are still going to get their money and probably still get big raises, and then they'll go from there. Tony DeAngelo is going to get bought out by the New York Rangers. Kevin Allen, who's a longtime writer to USA Today, he mentioned the Oilers. Do you see DeAngelo making any sense for the Edmonton Oilers?
Oh, okay. In the case of the right side, if you're the Oilers and Tyson Barrie isn't coming back, you're looking at Larson, if you get him locked up, right? And Bear and Bouchard. And Bear and Bouchard have high ceilings. Bear is ahead of Bouchard when it comes to development. A lot of good stuff coming from Bear. Bouchard tantalizes you. But Greg's, those two have a minimal amount of NHL games played. And we know NHL defensemen really hit it at, what, 300 to 400 games. We just saw Darnell Nurse emerge, and it took that long. So all of a sudden, the right side without Barrie, you're looking at two young guys and one solid defensive defenseman. That concerns me. So as much as you look at the stuff that DeAngelo does off the ice and you go, boy, that's a headache and a half. On the ice, you go, well, he brings a lot to the table that the Oilers might be missing. Do I like it? No. But I can see where that train of thought is coming from. I get it. I wouldn't do it just because of all the headache that comes with it. But when you look at what happens on the ice, do you really trust Bear and Bouchard to be consistent, high level, night in and night out? I don't know if they're there yet. They'll get there in time. Takes games, takes experience. If you're Ken Holland, you're walking that fine line between developing these guys and winning now. And that's a tough line to walk.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you sign DeAngelo, then, you know, something's, you know, the expectation of Larson, Bouchard, and Bear all being here wouldn't happen, right? So there would have to be other dominoes in place for that to occur. So, you know, and I'm not sure it makes a lot of sense, to be honest, to begin with, just in, you know, what they have going here. So, you know, we'll see. It'll be an interesting offseason on what they do. You know, the Devin Shore deal, you know, right now I see a lot of, hey, I like it. Some people complain about it. You'll always get some that complain. But like Devin Shore at a 2-year at 850, when right now you can put guys in the minors who have, if their contract's $1.1 million or lower, it doesn't count against the cap. So then it's basically up to your owner. Does he want to pay guys NHL money to be in the minors, right? I don't think Devin Shore, that they look at him and say, okay, he's probably going to be one of our 14 forwards. I think the Devin Shore signing makes it more difficult for Tyler Benson to make the team.
Fair point. And that's the interesting thing, too, is like you've drafted, developed Benson. Where does he fit into the grand scheme of things? it's a tough one, and it's not anything that Benson hasn't done. I mean, he had another really strong year in the AHL. He was developing and doing everything he can to find himself and put himself into the right spot to eventually become a full-time National Hockey Leaguer. So yeah, that's a bit of a predicament as well. I don't know what's going to happen to with the center position. Like, you know, looking at the Kara thing again, what happens there? What's going to happen with Kyle Turris? I joked with Dusty Nielsen today, when does Luke Glendening sign as an Oiler? But of course I say that facetiously. So this is going to be interesting. And now the work has obviously begun for Ken Holland as the offseason plan gets rolled out.
Tom Gazzola joins us, Hampton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. Tommy, I know you're big into golf. We talked about this last week, but you know, one of the rivalries, I guess, if we want to call it that, in sports, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, and Brooks Koepka said, "Hey, my beef with DeChambeau is good for the game." I kind of agree with him. Like, I know that sport, that golf's supposed to be like the gentleman game, they say, right? Gentlemanly, mm-hmm. And I know that, classy, whatever, but, you know, not everybody has to get along. In real life, not everybody gets along. And so rather than hide their disdain for one another, you know, like as long as it doesn't get childish, I don't really have an issue with it. Unless it becomes like where all of a sudden like they're hitting each other with golf balls, which I don't expect. But I think there used to be the perceived, you know, lefty-tiger rivalry, right, that they supposedly didn't like each other. But that never really seemed to be as bad as people on the outside hoped it would be. Now they have one that's like, well, these two actually don't get along. And I wonder if that actually makes it less enticing because they're like, well, there's no made-up drama. You know what I mean? It's all legit. And as funny as that sounds, it kind of takes away some of the rumor mills that people love to spread.
It puts everything at the forefront. People are talking about these two. I kind of like the fact that they admit it and they don't hide it from one another. And, you know, Koepka was talking about the Ryder Cup and if him and DeChambeau are on the same team, how would he handle that? And he handled it face on. He's like, well, I'll worry about my match. He worries about his match. We're all striving towards the same goal. So be it. I don't have to like this guy. And In the age of social media, like, the rumblings are going to be there. The stories will be thrown out there. I'm sure the rumors will still float out there as well. This is good. This is kind of the next wave of and the new form of rivalry, entertainment. I'm someone, and you are too, that grew up in the Mickelson Woods era, and there was always that, do they hate each other? Do they not? Like, what's the deal? Now this is, I think, the next step in that evolution, and it's these two, and I don't mind it at all that they say, yeah, you know, we don't like each other. They share their disdain for one another. They take shots at each other on social media. Others chime in on the tour. People get kicks out of it. The fact that, you know, here's another one, like the theory that maybe they're both in on it because there's the PGA's got the incentive in terms of like buzz and social media, like whoever's doing that the best gets a bit of a bonus, you know, and people are wondering, well, are these two just doing it for fun to get paid more? So the intrigue's there. And you know what's funny too? When we were talking about it, I sent you that text earlier in the day. I'm like, this is the kind of thing, like this, Koepka just flat out said it. He's like, it gets people talking. And I was wondering, like, what's the CFL got to do to get the next generation talking? These guys are doing it for golf for the next generation. And football here in Canada hopefully finds a way to do that the same. And I know that's a bit of a stretch to go from golf to football, but I just thought of the CFL. Koepka admits it. Like, this gets people talking. It's the new generation. This is how it is.
Yeah, but I also do think there's legit. I don't think it's fake. I no offense.
Me neither.
Neither one of these guys is going to be up for an end. They're not that good of an actor, right? Like, I think there's definitely disdain. And like, both of them have kind of big egos and personalities. And I think that's why they clash, right? Like, Brooks Koepka was not one to hide his opinions before to others. Like, he wasn't necessarily the most beloved guy on tour either. So, you know, him and DeChambeau, hey, I can respect it. They're not pretending that they're somebody they're not. This is who we are. We don't like each other. You don't have to like us. We move on. But I definitely think it'll be something that people watch a little closer. Now, from two guys who clearly don't get along to two guys who had chemistry right away playing for Canada yesterday, Double D, Davies and David, Now they'll move on to take on Haiti for two games in the qualifying round, where they're the favorite again. Getting excited about, you know, the women's national team has been very good for many years on the soccer front. And now you've got Davies and David. And on the men's side, we've never had, as a country, two legit players like this ever before.
No, and that's true. Refreshing to see dominant performances, regardless of who the opponent is, too. I know it was Suriname yesterday, but... Greg's, how long has our national program just been a mess? Is there any other way to put it? Like, respectably, like, it's been a mess, right? And we've got these young stars. They've got chemistry with one another, and it's almost like this light at the end of the tunnel. And it would be nice. And I know we're still waiting to find out about 2026 in the World Cup. And it would be great to see these guys playing at Commonwealth on natural grass and connecting and giving Canada some notoriety as a respectable soccer nation. It's not. It hasn't been for a long time. So to see dominant performances, a nice 4-0 win yesterday, 4-0, pardon me, good. Hopefully this is the start of something absolutely fantastic. And we're seeing more and more kids in our country taking on different sports and becoming excellent stars in other sports. And maybe this inspires more and more, like the women have on the women's side, have inspired young female soccer players to strive to achieve these amazing goals like our women's side has over the last 20 years. Maybe we start to see that on the men's side as well, which would be absolutely phenomenal. And again, shed the idea that we're just a hockey country.
Tommy, have yourself a good one. We will chat with you ad demain.
Sounds good, Greg. See you tomorrow.